Human history is filled with stories of people going somewhere. Our early ancestors migrated to Europe, to Asia, then across that land bridge and into the Americas and discovered lots of things, and we spread out. And then after the first wave came second waves and third waves, often displacing the first and second waves. We just kept moving forward. It's what we've done. People are going somewhere. The Vikings went out exploring. They found Canada, but because it was Canada, they left. Didn't stay. Columbus discovered the Caribbean, and that led to pirates and then way too many Johnny Depp movies. Later, the Pilgrims endured 66 days at sea, the last half of those being filled with treacherous weather. And they came to America looking for religious freedom and pumpkin pie, and found both. And we're excited about that. Lewis and Clark set out to find a river passage across the United States, with the hope that you could cross all the way across the United States by boat. Instead, they found the Rocky Mountains, and that women were much better at asking directions. But still, they made it to the Pacific Ocean and then back again. In the late 1800s, over 300,000 pioneers traveled the Oregon Trail to begin new lives in the West. But what you may not know is that every mile, they left a marker that was designated for future Starbucks along the way. And then on July 21st, 1969, Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin stepped on to the moon. This being one of the first major expeditions that did not result in the subjugation or decimation of indigenous populations. So we got that. That was for you. All right? So there we go. There are just some of the big journeys that we've had, but history is also filled with personal but very profound journeys. Families move from one state to another, perhaps for a new job that dad or mom takes. Kids go to new schools. Maybe it's off to a new college or just moving from the middle school to the high school. Young adults leave home after graduation, and then eventually they find jobs and start families, and they start that process all over again. And even some brave and faithful people have left all to take the gospel to new lands. Let me ask each of you to reflect on a question this morning, a question for your life. Where are you going? Where are you headed? Where is your life taking you? Especially you graduates, short term, where are you headed? College, military, work, marriage, your parents' basement? Where are you headed? Maybe you're not sure yet. Those in-betweens can be very frustrating. And being in the land of I don't know yet can be scary. But if we make one crucial decision, it can allow that waiting season to become a preparation season. So in the long term, here's a question for you. Am I headed for my kingdom, or am I headed for God's kingdom? My kingdom equals my agenda, my whims and my desires, my own recognition, my wealth, my glory. It's all about me, mine. God's kingdom, though, equals God's goals, His will, His work. Seeking God's kingdom is to want to live my life for His glory. It's to live my life as salt and light to pursue the righteousness that surpasses that of the scribes and the Pharisees. To exhibit a life of peace, joy, goodness, faithfulness, kindness, and more. So which way are you headed? your kingdom or God's kingdom? Roy Riegels played football for the UC Berkeley Golden Bears from 1927 to 1929. In 1929, he earned first-team All-America honors and served as team captain for the Bears. His coach considered him to be the smartest player he had ever coached. But for all that he did right, all that he otherwise achieved, he is remembered most for what he did wrong. On January 1, 1929, his team was playing against the Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets in the Rose Bowl. Riegels was playing a position similar to what a nose guard or nose tackle would play today. And Georgia Tech's Jack Stumpy Thompson, I have no idea how he got that name, but he fumbled the ball just 30 yards away from the Yellow Jackets' end zone. And Riegels was somehow able to pick up the fumble, but he got turned around and he ran 69 yards in the wrong direction and scored a safety for the other team. Riegels would later tell the Associated Press, "I was running toward the sidelines when I picked up the ball. I started to turn toward my left toward the Tech's goal. Somebody shoved me, and I bounded right off onto a tackler, and pivoting to get away from him, I completely lost my bearings." They lost 8-7. That safety made all the difference. But he would go on to live that reputation down as best as he could and overcome that. But isn't it easy to find ourselves turned around and headed the wrong direction? We can think we are going the right way, and he thought he was going the right way. He probably thought along the way, "Wow, I'm really outrunning all of these other defenders. Isn't this great? Look at me go. Take a picture, Ma." There's a Bible verse that tells us there's a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. I'm not talking about which college you attend or your career choice or which state you live in. I'm talking about whether you choose to live as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven or in your own kingdom. So how do you find God's kingdom? How do you get there? How will you find it? By looking or by waiting? When we choose to live our lives the way we want and then hope it will all work out, or we can choose to be intentional. That's our choice. Listen to what Jesus says. First, he tells us to be proactive. He says, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks the door will be open." Doug Corrigan was a mechanic on Charles Lindbergh's transatlantic plane, Spirit of St. Louis. It's an historic flight. Doug helped with a number of different components, but what he really wanted to do was make the flight himself. And so he built a plane, modified a plane to do just that. Back then, you had to get permission to make such a flight, and so he submitted his designs, his plans, and they were turned down. So he made new modification, and he was turned down again. And he made more modifications, and he got turned down again. But what he finally got approval was to make a transcontinental flight from Long Beach to Brooklyn, and then back again. And so that's what he did. He got on his plane in 1938, and he flew nonstop from Long Beach to Brooklyn, and then turned around to fly back, but he went the wrong way. We should say he went the wrong way, and he flew to Ireland. To this day, well, today, throughout his life, he maintained that he flew the wrong way, but really, few people believe that. They think he really wanted to go to Ireland. You see, he was going to seek. He was going to knock. He was going to pursue it. He was going to go after it. even though the culture around him told him, nope, don't go that way, he was going to go what he thought to be the right way. If you seek God's kingdom, keep this in mind, if you seek God's kingdom, this culture will tell you that you are going the wrong way. But you have to make up your mind, are you willing to ask, to seek, to knock, to find God's kingdom at work in your life? But if we're going to strike out in a direction opposite of our culture and its norms, then we're going to have to learn to trust in the goodness of God. Listen to what else he says. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? It's hard to be different from our culture if I cannot trust God. I need to believe that God's direction for my life is the right one, and I need to trust that he will provide what I need. I had to learn this lesson the hard way. When I was graduating from college, I had two choices. I was in an application process with a missionary group called TCM to go over to Austria and work with this group that did work behind the Iron Curtain. But while I was working through its extensive application process, I was contacted about a youth ministry position in Spencer, Indiana. And I had to weigh that out. Austria, Indiana. I was very concerned about getting it right and doing the right thing. I wanted to make sure I stayed within God's will for my life. And I began to fret and become very anxious about this because as I kept thinking, well, God will shut one of the doors. Somebody will tell me no as I work through the application process. They'll say no, and I'll know then which is God's will. But it didn't work out that way. Bit by bit, they both said yes to the next level, and I kept working my way through. And I realized I was going to have to make a choice. And it scared me, because I was afraid I would make the wrong choice. And I was afraid God would be mad at me if I made the wrong choice. So I talked with one of my professors, and he said, you know, you're choosing between two good things. Essentially, he told me, you just need to trust in the goodness of God. That where you're going, if you are going, seeking to be within God's general will, you can trust in God's goodness, whatever you encounter. Doesn't mean that everything will work out perfect. But it does mean that God will be with you as you're going and you can trust in him. Such trust can take training. Next month, we have a group of teenagers, young adults, and not as young adults, who will be heading on a missions trip to Jamaica. And while on the outside, these kind of trips look like a lot of fun, they present the kinds of challenges that train us to be proactive and trust in the goodness of the Father. So right now, I'm going to ask Troy and the team to come up, and Troy is going to interview some of the team members and about that trip. And you'll find out a little bit more about how we can all put these things into practice. So, Troy?
We did not rehearse, so. Kind of like last time, before I interview a few folks and have them answer a couple questions. Some of you might have been not been here whenever we introduced ourselves a few weeks ago. So that you know who you're praying for and who is actually going on the team, I'm just going to have them introduce themselves real quick. So we'll start down here and just kind of pass it along. I'm Troy.
I'm Jacqueline Innes.
I'm Carson Deckard.
I'm Rochelle Strickland.
I'm Brant Guthrie.
I'm Tyler Strickland.
I'm Chase Strickland.
I'm Tanner Colby.
Kaylin Richmond.
Rachel Guthrie.
Abigail Guthrie.
Amber Vetcrumba.
Caleb Meeks.
Bonnie Richmond.
Emily Miller.
John.
Sarah Purdy.
And Tanya Veneto.
Yeah, now you guys have a front, have a seat on the steps. Stay up here. Yeah, this side over here. Yep, perfect. Yeah, like I said, not rehearsed. So one of the things that we wanted to do today is just to kind of share what's going on with the team and what we're going to be doing and how we and why we decided to come. So instead of all of us sharing, we just kind of set it up as a few people are going to share. So first we're going to start with Tanner. Come on over, Tanner. So Tanner is going to share why he personally is going on the missions trip.
All right. So I just wanted to talk a little bit about the fact that we a lot of the times hear about the poverty and things that are going on around the world, and we feel bad about it, but a lot of the times we don't take steps to do something about it. So God's just given all of us a cool opportunity to go and do something about it, and a lot of us are young and going into the real world soon. So I think it'll just be a great eye-opener for us as we go into the real world. And as Matthew 28:19 says, to go and make disciples of all nations, that's what we're going to do. We're going to go, and we're going to disciple them there. And then lastly, I'm going personally, and I know a lot of us are too, to see that God's works just aren't confined to Ellettsville, Indiana, or just even in this country. Like, God's working all around the world, and I know we're all really excited to see that and just see how God's working, not only here, but all over the world and all over the earth.
Man, that was really good. Hey, by the way, how many of you, this is going to be your first missions project ever? Raise them up high. So most of us. So they're taking huge steps. We're taking huge steps. So it is really cool to see how God's going to use us, not just here, but in Jamaica. Next up, Caleb. So Caleb, where you at? Come. Later in the passage, Jesus talks about us needing to do to others what we want them to do for us. So Caleb is going to talk about what we're actually going to be doing for the people, for the children of Beecher Town.
So we'll be leaving on June 7th, about 3 a.m. in the morning. We'll get down there, and we're going to spend 7 days mixing and pouring concrete. Our goal is to finish making a basketball court, two goals and everything for the elementary school. Sunday evening or Sunday morning, we'll be doing service for them, leading and the youth group and the singing. And then a couple of the ladies are also helping with the elementary school on one day. We're also taking one day to kind of enjoy being down there and going to Dunn's River.
So yeah, it's going to be, yeah, you can clap, go, yeah, go. Yeah, okay. So as Byron said, you know, sometimes you hear missions trips and, hey, they're going to Jamaica. That's pretty awesome. And it's going to be like vacation. It's not. As I shared with the team last time, you know, some of us are going to be sleeping on the floor. It's not the Marriott. There are some crawling bugs around. Rachel's giving me this look because I said that on the radio a couple weeks ago, and she's like, don't tell everyone that there's going to be roaches and stuff. And I'm like, well, there are. I mean, it's so I think Tanya almost passed out whenever I said last time. I was like, hey, when you go into the bathroom at night, turn the light on, wait until everything stops moving, and then go in. So yeah, it's not vacation. We're going to be working hard, so I can't wait. Chase and Emily are going to come up, and they're both going to talk about how they've been gifted. I'll let Emily talk first. So Jesus says, as Byron has already talked about, our Father knows how to give good gifts to his children. So the question they're going to answer is, what good gifts do you feel like you've been given by the Father that you're going to be able to use on this project? So Emily.
Well, gosh, when Troy told me to do this, I was like, well, I don't know. Usually when you hear people going on missions trips, they have some really awesome special skill. They know how to fly an airplane, or they're a doctor, or, you know, they're a contractor, and I'm none of those. or at least you're a teenager with a lot of brawn and, you know, a lot of energy. So I kept thinking about that this week, and I thought, you know, that verse where God uses the weak to confound the wise. And I'm just praying for God's assistance in my weaknesses, and that what I have to give, I will give freely. And that's why I'm going.
So as many of you know, I go to Michigan State University, and I'm a part of a student ministry there called Crew. And one of the things that Crew at MSU does is they really stress reaching the nations on campus, because we have students from all over the world coming to Michigan State. And so with that, I've been able to really develop strong relationships with international students, have really great conversations, and so I'm just hoping to bring that with me. And then also, many of these students go to the youth ministry at South Union Church, which is where I'm doing an internship this summer, working with youth ministry. So, yeah.
So we're going to wrap up kind of the missions section by Brant is going to come and pray over the team. And I just invite you wherever you're at to pray over us. If you did not get an individual person to pray over through the giving tree, I'm just going to ask you, like, right where you're at, to kind of focus in on someone and say, okay, for the next, we leave in 18, 17 days. So for the next 3 or 4 weeks, I'm going to pray over this person. If you don't know our name, come up and introduce yourself. Say, hey, I picked you. I want to pray over you. And just kind of build that relationship. So I'm going to invite you to pray over the whole group now, but then to pick someone individually to pray over for the next few weeks for us. So Brant's going to lead this.
All right, let's pray. Dear Lord, we ask you for your protection and safety as we travel and do works in Jamaica, Lord. We ask that you will guide the way and lead us to a good and safe trip, and that your word will be spread. We thank you for all that you've done to this group financially and spiritually, and I thank you for all these people stepping up to do something that most people can't do. As Jesus says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. So, Lord, we ask that this trip will not only be good for all 19 going down, but also good for the people that we'll be helping. It's in this that we pray. Amen.
You guys can have a seat. Tag.
If you're interested in supporting the work, and Troy may say more about this, but I know there'll be a love offering available, and there's still the silent auction items over in the FLC. So maybe praying and asking how God will like to use you in that support. So here we are. How do we wrap all this up? It comes down to this. How will I live my life? How will I live my life? Whether my journey takes me across the globe, whether it takes me across the street, or just when I walk back in my own door, how will I live my life? Will I seek the good life God wants me to have? There's the question. Will I seek it? That makes each of us, gives each of us another decision to do. Will I pursue in my own life getting or giving? We discussed that last week as a choice that we have. Will I be someone who is constantly trying to get for myself, or will I be someone who is seeking to live my life as a giver? Matthew 7:12 says, so in everything do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Basically saying all that Old Testament, if you will just do this, if you will just focus your energy, your thought process in this way. How can I do for other people what I would want done for me? How can I be a giver rather than a getter? I can choose to live my life outwardly, giving, doing good for others, or I can choose to live my life getting as much for myself as I can. Remember that verse we looked at earlier. There is a way that appears to be right, but in the end, it leads to death. Now, it's not just physical death here. Other things die. Hope dies. Dreams die. Relationships die. If I pursue my agenda, my life, my what I want, I can wind up killing a lot of good things in my life. Or if I can live my life as a giver, seeking to give grace, truth, joy, love to other people, I can bring life to dreams and hopes and relationships. If we seek the Father's kingdom, we can have the life that is abundant, the life that is truly life. What life do you want? What life do you want? Where do you want to live? Your kingdom or God's kingdom? Many of you, you've made that decision. You said at some point, I'm going after God's kingdom. But maybe you found yourself taking some detours along the way. And it's time to get back on that narrow road. Maybe you've never made that decision, but you're ready to today. You're ready to call on the name of Jesus, to surrender your life to Him. We have the baptistry ready this morning. You could begin that new life today. That's not my decision, that's yours. To start with asking, what kingdom are you in now? What kingdom do you want to be in? Will you live your life as a getter or as a giver? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you thankful for so many good things this morning. Thankful for our graduates who are entering into a new season of their life. And we pray that as they go, wherever they go, that they will seek to live in a way that brings salt and light to their world, that brings the kind of righteousness that makes the difference in the lives of others. Help them, Father, in this journey. Help them to know that wherever they go, they have a good Father with them. Father, we pray for our team that's heading off to Jamaica. There are a lot of things that can happen in such a trip like this, and we pray that whatever happens along the way, that they would see you at work in what's going on. And there are these folks this morning who need to decide about what kingdom they want to live in. And for any father who already, give them the courage to step up and step out and surrender to you. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.